Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.
Welcome to the 11 Personnel Podcast, your favorite Rams podcast. I'm your host, Jordan Rodrigue, and with me, as always, my fabulous co-host, Rich Hammond. Rich, how we doing?
Jordan, we're doing well, and I know how much you like to break news, and you're very good at it, but I wanted to share something with our listeners as we record here on Tuesday afternoon. I just recently found out Jordan has been nominated for...
Oh my God, award. You're not doing this.
I am doing this, yes. And it's somebody I know who means a lot to you and means a lot to all of us in this industry. The Professional Football Writers Association is naming an award after Therese Paylor, who was just a fantastic, a fantastic person, first of all, and a very respected and outstanding football journalist who unfortunately passed away. And so cool to see that they're naming an award after him. And it's called the Emerging Writer Award. And it's going to an up-and-coming pro football writer who embodies the professionalism and work ethic that made Therese one of the most respected reporters in the business. And Jordan is one of the five finalists for this award. And first of all, congratulations on that. And I know, looking at some of the other names on this list too, Michael Sean Dugar, who covers the Seahawks for us here at The Athletic, Jory Epstein, who does a great job in Dallas with the Cowboys for USA Today, Amy Just, Cam Wolf. I know they're names that mean a lot to you, and I know Therese did also, so congratulations.
Well, thanks, Rich. It's a good thing we're recording audio because I'm blushing quite profusely right now. You completely surprised me with that. So, Therese was somebody who we all miss very, very much, and somebody who uplifted young journalists, uplifted so many people in the way that he not only set an example and did his job, but also in the way he would reach out and check on people and put young people, in a position to be successful and to try to do this job the right way, because he so did it the right way. So it's a huge honor for me to be on this list. I especially with a bunch of my colleagues who are all friends, I consider all to be friends of mine, who I know are also so honored to be on this list. So really, really means a lot. And I'm getting a little emotional, so we're going to move on. but
what's it like to be young and up and coming, Jordan?
I vaguely remember those days. I was going to say, yeah. At the quarterback collective, I felt real old. So it was to be called up and coming. I was like, all right, well. The other thing I just want to point out too, if you guys get annoyed by cracking voices, Mine is going all over the place this week. I've got some allergies going on. So if you guys are wondering why you hear what sounds like shattering ice coming through my throat at some point, I can't tell you when it's going to happen. I just feel like it's going to. So that's where I'm at right now. So thanks for bearing with us. But Rich, pretty excited because we've got some OTAs stuff to talk about. We've got to start out with some of this Julio Jones stuff, though, because I really hope that everybody stayed off the internet and enjoyed the weekend. It was a long weekend. I hope people got Monday off, and spent it with either family or friends or reflecting, if kind of that's something that you do every year. But I checked in once or twice, and man, Twitter was just going nuts about Julio Jones and some betting odds. Did you see that?
I did, yes. And look, I understand. I was actually thinking about this today. And I used to kind of get frustrated with Rams fans, because anytime like a name came up, it would be like, when are we going to get this guy? When are we going to get that guy? And then I was like, yeah, but how many times have they done this to us? You know, anytime there is a big name out there, there's the Rams like sticking their nose in it to see like whether or not they can pull it off. And I say that in an admiring way, because the Rams always do their diligence or, you know, see if it's even something that's realistic. But yeah, in this case, I get it. And I see, you know, oh, they're what were they? The number two betting odds or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah. And I don't know how that works or how that happens, but I do know that Vegas, like a lot of times they have these outliers where Vegas they'll be right about something. And so it kind of sets up expectation for other things in the future. And I get that. The thing that was interesting was, you know, yes, the Rams did inquire about Julio Jones, as they should, as 32 teams should have. Well, 31, because the Falcons,
right.
Falcons aren't inquiring about their own guy. Although maybe
they got their
answer. They're trying to figure that one out. 31 teams should have inquired about Julio Jones, especially if you're a good team, even if you're set at receiver, which the Rams clearly believe that for the most part they are. Now, are they open to adding someone of his caliber? Sure. But they're not going to get into a bidding war. The Falcons are very much trying to drum up a market, a substantial market for Julio, because they're trying to get the most out of him. And at the same time, they don't have a ton of leverage because everybody knows the deal with them and their salary cap trouble. So this is one thing where the Rams were like, listen, you know, and this is what sources were telling me through the weekend and also repeated again this morning. This is a Tuesday morning this is a Tuesday afternoon that we're recording this. So this morning, talking to a source, and they're like, look, we're not going to, you know, it's one of those things where, and this is me paraphrasing, you know, they're not going to get into just be pawns in a bidding war just for the sake of driving up a price. You know, smart teams don't let themselves do that. Good teams don't let themselves do that. There are teams that definitely have the capital and are interested in the sense for what the Falcons are asking for, which sounds like not only a first round draft pick at some point in the future, but potentially also adding players. That's just not something that, especially, you know, he's one of the best receivers. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. He's one of the best receivers in the league. And there's no reason to believe that he won't have a great season in 2021, even with the injury concerns and things like that. I watched him play for years in the NFC South. He's just outstanding. You have to game plan specifically for him. But, you know, it's also one of those things where the Rams don't often pay other people's players if they are not sort of coming into the peak of their career, or unless they're the quarterback of another team for the last 12 years.
Right.
So it's one of those things where they're, you know, and especially with resource allocation and whatnot, obviously the Rams don't have the picks immediately. Now, that's not to say that they're not open to being in this conversation if his market flattens out. Like, let's say the Falcons are like, all right, well, we can't get a first round pick. Now, I think all it takes is one team. I think they'll find somewhere for him that will give them sort of a higher capital trade. But if it doesn't happen, and let's say the Falcons are like, man, we cannot keep this guy because of his salary, then that would be a conversation. The Rams' phones would be on still. That would be a conversation, you know, second or third round picks, things like that. But they're not going to get into a bidding war just for the sake of being in a bidding war, that their name adding to it alone is what drives up a price. So I don't think that they found that to be a good use of time or energy. So it was interesting how that sort of swelled up to sort of pandemonium through the weekend. I was outside, man. I was at the beach this weekend. It was great. So I hope people got offline and breathed a little bit and trusted that if there was anything to share, you know, I'm not always right and I miss stuff sometimes. But on this, if there was anything to share, I would have loved to share it. But there just wasn't anything to share.
Yeah, look, that Vegas stuff, and I get those emails. I think I get them every day from somebody or another about these odds, and they're always interesting. You know, like, oh, who's the next coach that's going to be fired, or who's going to be drafted, you know, number three overall or whatever. And it's fun. It's and look, let's be honest, and I don't say this to be pejorative against those people, but they're doing it to get attention. they're getting it so that people will write blog items about their betting site and give them some publicity. So let's not misunderstand why these things are being put out there. That's exactly why they're being put out there, is to get attention. So I guess they succeed on some levels. But you also have to think that, you know, they're aware of the Rams. I mean, this is the team that has just taken these swings over the last couple of years. Oh, Jalen Ramsey's available. Where's he going? Oh, he's going to the Rams. Oh, Matthew Stafford's available. Where's he going? Oh, he's going to the Rams. So it's almost like you come to expect that if there's a big name on the market, that the Rams are going to be in on it. So I certainly understand.
Yeah.
And like I said, I don't write off anything. The one that drove home that for me, Jordan, was a couple of years ago when you know, I found out that not only were the Rams re-signing Aaron Donald, but they'd also been sniffing around Khalil Mack in a trade. And I'm like, okay, now I believe anything. Like, now nothing.
Yeah. That's the thing. Exactly. So, you can't rule them out on anything, but I do. Right. I do say that you got to also, you know, maybe don't overreact until there's actually something to react to in the first place. So we'll see how this goes. It's going to be really interesting. And I think that it's always exciting conversation. It's always fun for people to sort of project how he may fit. I still think that, you know, trying to run twin 1,000 yards receivers out of town and then bring in, you know, in exchange for a player when you really want three dominant receivers in the modern league, and right. then trying to basically run two of them out of town and then have a numbers disadvantage because you're putting two out of town and then bringing in one who's the best player, one of the best players in the league, but you need three dominant receivers, maybe even four, to be competitive and to be dominant in this league. So we won't get into all of that because I've got lots of it just won't be a productive day if we get into that. But at the same time, you know, it would, you know, we'll see what happens because, again, these guys, they just wait and they strike when the timing is right on things. And if they can't get, if people can't get something done with Julio, and hell, by the time we get this podcast up, maybe he'll be traded somewhere. But if his market flattens, I definitely wouldn't rule them out and at least inquiring again and keeping the phone line hot. But for now, they are out. You know, it's an interesting, I mean, that's the other thing. It's like, just because it's maybe not going to happen doesn't mean that like we're poo-pooing the opportunity. What a phenomenal ad he'll be to any team. I mean, of course you call about that guy, right? Of course if you're a GM, you make a phone call about Julio Jones. He's an outstanding, phenomenal player against whom you have to specifically game plan for and strategize for. I mean, he totally wrecks your normal structure of what your defense is needing to do every week, and he wrecks your routine because you have to spend extra time specifically figuring out how to defend him. And I watched a lot of games. There was one that I was talking about this weekend. It was one of the most football-y football moments I think I've ever seen was, you know, when he played the Panthers, who are figuring out their secondary after he put 300 yards on them and totally disrupted their draft strategy and draft plan for the next several years. Right. Really, at a certain point when he was playing against them twice a year, at a certain point, they just kind of prayed he would drop it, and he barely did. He had one major drop on a deep ball that was kind of going to hit his hands right as he got to the end zone. And the safety in coverage went and prayed in the corner of the end zone afterward because it was like, oh, thank God he dropped it. You know, I mean, because it just didn't happen. It just doesn't happen. So, great player. We'll see what happens with him. But I think Rams fans at the most right now should just be hoping that he doesn't end up in the NFC West.
You took the words out of my mouth because I'm
speaking
looking
of
at Seattle.
Praying,
I mean, we all know the situation there and what's going on with Russell Wilson. And, you know, if there's an opportunity to add Julio Jones, that'll be an interesting one. Everybody, the NFC West is like the center of the universe. So everything eventually comes back to the NFC West at some point. But yeah, Jordan, great, you know, great summation of the whole thing. It's never, until the guy's traded, it's never over. But if the asking price is what the asking price really is, then no, it doesn't make any sense for the Rams whatsoever.
Right. And in the meantime, a couple of their guys are in the building right now. Van Jefferson, DeSean Jackson, Cooper Kupp, and Robert Woods have all repped in and out. And Tutu Atwell, their rookie, have all been repping in and out with Matthew Stafford as OTAs opened. And pretty solid turnout for the Rams. You know, I've gotten some questions about this because there was a conversation and a statement put out through the NFL Players Union about boycotting or holding out of spring OTAs. Well, basically what happened is they wanted to have a unified stance with teammates across the league, especially via the union, and so opted out of sort of that first phase, but came to an agreement that it would be sort of a restructured, differentiated version of OTAs where they have some terms agreements with head coach Sean McVay, with a couple of the assistants and the Rams staff. And that's what teams, most teams around the league are doing. I guess the Seahawks still haven't reported as far as I had seen last week. So a couple teams are holding out very firmly, but for the most part, teams are coming in and getting like very light drilling in. It's a lot of install. It's all reps against air. So as fun as this time of year is to kind of see everybody again, we always have to take that with a grain of salt. Until we get into training camp, we really don't know what we don't know. So right now it's all about Matthew Stafford learning the language of the offense. It's definitely about the offensive line and all of its changes, sort of restructuring and recalibrating, especially with Austin Corbett at center, and they have to take a ton of snaps together in order to even be ready for speed to pick up. It's a lot of throw and catch. It's a lot of timing and rhythm and all these types of things, cadence with Stafford. And it's a lot of collaboration between Matthew Stafford and Sean McVay. Sean McVay called Matthew a joy to work with in that regard. So things are so far doing well in terms of the communication. Yeah. So
did he say he was the Rams quarterback right now, or was that, did he make a little bit longer of a commitment?
He didn't say that, but I think I would maybe like have a heart attack if he, I'm like, oh God, here we go again. But no, so far so good. And there's a lot of energy, and honestly, like these guys have so much fun at camp and in OTA. So, I got to go out last week and finally see people in person again. And, it was just like, as Sean said, it was just kind of a joy to do. Cause it was, you finally got to actually see people doing things. And if you haven't checked it out yet, I did write a observation recap. I'm going to have at least one of those coming out every week. We get one day of in-person access per week through OTAs. So I'll have one of those come out every week. So if you haven't seen it yet, go check it out over theathletic.com. And it's just chock full of stuff, isn't it, Rich?
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's great. I know how excited you were to be able to get out there and actually see live football activities. It's very cool, and you really can learn a lot. I mean, we do when we're allowed out there, you do get good access. You know, you can kind of walk around. If people aren't familiar with kind of how these things go, they kind of have the two fields set up, and you can to an extent, you can't cover the entire area, but you can kind of, you know, go back and forth between position groups or different drills and things like that. If there's any particular player you want to pay attention to or any grouping that you want to watch, it's a lot of fun. People who have gone to the training camps in Irvine will know about this. It's a very similar kind of set up to where you can see different things happening at the same time. So yeah, Jordan, great insights. And I know we don't talk about the offensive line, but I think when we talk about these OTAs, yeah, a lot of it is the above the neck stuff. You know, it's the learning and the communicating and making sure you're on the same page with that stuff. But to me, it's always, there's a handful of positions, and I don't know, off the top of my head, I might say offensive line is at the top of that list, where there are tangible things that you can benefit from being on the field, just because that is such an important position. I know it was you, Jordan, going back a few months now, you know, talking about the five fingers and the glove sort of thing, where, you know, there is that chemistry that you can develop as a unit. And it's, of course, important when you talk about a quarterback and a receiver, or a, you know, defensive lineman playing together, or things like that. But I've always kind of felt that maybe among all the positions, it's most important for those offensive linemen. And I imagine, Jordan, this year may be even more important than ever.
Yeah. And, you know, you've got to get a certain amount of snaps with Corbett and Stafford. And they were kind of being coy about it early last week and like kind of being like, oh, we're rotating guys in. I will say Brian Allen did rotate in a couple of times into the ones when they were doing install work, but that never featured a live snap, as I wrote in my observation. So anytime there was live snapping, now this is probably a huge differentiation here. Anytime there was live snapping, at least for that day, the one day that, you know, we got to see. So also take that with a grain of salt, because there were like packages last year, you know, you learn about them a year later, and there were packages at the end of the season last year. Like I learned that they were installing a change of pace package with Bryce Perkins, who was going to be active for that last playoff game in the last week of camp. But obviously I didn't see that because there's so many things that happen. But anyway, so, you know, anytime there was a live snap happening, it was Matthew Stafford and Austin Corbett. So that's something that is pretty key. You've got to establish that rhythm. Something I thought was interesting too is at times I saw Coleman Shelton live snapping the ball to John Walford, who is the clear and substantiated backup quarterback for this team. So that's somebody to watch for sure. Brian Allen was repping in and out with non-live snaps with the first team. I think a lot of that has to do with him knowing the calls and him knowing where the alignments are and all of those things. But who knows? Maybe they'll try to work him in as well to see. But you really have to establish the cadence with the guy who you've chosen to be your center. So they're a little less coy entering this week. You know, we spoke with Andrew Whitworth just shortly before jumping on here, and he was talking about how Austin is coming up to speed at center and how those types of things happen and the communication happens and everybody's trying to fill them out. So I think they're rolling with that combination for sure, even though early in the week, last week, they were talking about rotating guys through. I think that's a dependent on what the situation is in terms of, like, again, live versus non-live snaps, because you have to establish that. And then Bobby Evans, you know, they've seemed to be pleased with how he's working in at right guard so far. So that's also important. And those two positions, particularly in establishing the continuity, it kind of amazes me. I mean, they've had a lot of veterans come in and out of OTAs. They're voluntary. But Andrew Whitworth, from what it sounds like, has been there every day. And that's something, and Rob Havenstein as well. And that's something that I think is so important, right? Like, these guys are great at what they do. Whitworth's almost 40. He's been doing it for, 16 years. So at this point, no, does not have to show up to OTAs. None of them have to show up to OTAs. But Whitworth really doesn't have to show up to OTAs. But it's really important. It's going to be the number one thing for them on offense is establishing that continuity and making sure that they're sort of getting into a rhythm in that regard. So I do think that's interesting. And of course, having Whitworth around brings up the energy and, you know, he's just like loves to get to know guys and all of that. So I think it adds some comfort as well. And especially for Matthew, who needs, you know, people to kind of help show him the ropes and understand different teammates and things like that. So definitely the most important part. Receivers are repping out in and out a lot, but it looks like Cooper Kupp and Van Jefferson are getting quite the workload in because Robert Woods, being the veteran that he is, obviously they're repping him in some days, and then he's doing off-field workouts other days in the gym, in the Rams gym, their training room. So last week he was present at practice, but Cooper Kupp was sort of the number one. And those things are important too, right, Rich? It is establishing that timing with the receiver.
Oh, of course. Yeah. And then you can do that in different ways. I mean, guys, we've been known to get together, you know, I remember Jared Goff and some of these guys used to go to like to Westlake High and just throw on the field, you know, just away from OTAs. But it's not that's important too, but to get it in this setting where you're on the field with the coaches and you have certain communications and things like that. Yeah. None of these guys have ever played together before. So it's not like any of them have a history with Matthew Stafford or, you know, the new, even down to the, like the nuances of the way that he likes to throw the ball or where do guys like to see it or whatever it is. I mean, these are things that you only get through those reps. So any opportunities that you can take to build that stuff, really important. And obviously you mentioned Van Jefferson. We know what an important year this is going to be for him. You talked about that depth that they have at receiver and the importance of him trying to find a role. And obviously them bringing in Tutu Atwell also into the mix. I'm sure Van Jefferson, you know, feels that, understands that. So big time for him to show out and show that he's on top of his game, and those things matter as well. So yeah, it's different, you know, like you said, very well, Jordan, when it's your guys on your guys, it's always, you're never going to be able to tell everything. You're going to need an opposition at some point. And I know the Rams have these joint practices that you found out about. So that'll be a big time too. But yeah, it's more about those reps and just that improvement, that comfort and things like that. So good to see that some of those veterans are leading the way there.
Yeah. And a couple of notes too, that I think are really important to keep an eye on moving forward that are sort of OTAs adjacent. So one thing is that they are clearly running through sort of, I call them like running partners at inside linebacker. Basically, it's your tandem guys. You know, like when you're on the playground and you're playing Red Rover or something like that. And you want to stand next to the person who's really got a good grip on your arm so nobody can break through. That's what this is. Like you, these running partners. So, you know, it's usually probably going to be a guy who's a little bit more of a power guy, maybe a guy who can get downhill a little bit, but needs to be able to move the way that they want him to move laterally. But then the other guy who will do a little bit more of the blitzing, most likely, and who is a little bit more of that dynamic horizontal stretch guy who can maybe contain on the perimeter where needed. And also, obviously, like I said, do some blitz work and then rush the passer a little bit. So we saw that featured in Micah Kizer and Kenny Young. Obviously, there are some issues there with Micah Kizer getting hurt and then a couple, you know, being on and off the field. And then they put in Troy Reader and he had, you know, one really great game and a couple that were up and down. But now that Traven Howard is healthy and obviously being a dynamic linebacker, they're testing out the combinations. So I saw a lot of Micah Kizer and Kenny Young again. I saw Troy Reader and Traven Howard, with Troy obviously being a little bit more that power guy and Traven being that really dynamic guy who can move horizontally. And then I saw Christian Roseboom, the undrafted free agent, along with Traven Howard, and they were both repping against the first team offense. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to report that, but if someone comes and yells at me, that's fine. But that's what it was. So note to listeners, if I stop including that information, it means that I've gotten a slap on the wrist.
Jordan, how are the Rams ever going to win the Super Bowl if you are telling people how they're repping in OTAs in June?
I'm just trying to be respectful and keep Christian Roseboom a secret from the rest of the league. I am trying to be respectful of their roles because I just feel so good about being in person again. But anyway, so that was interesting because they're very much looking for combinations. Now, I didn't see a ton of Ernest Jones. I was on the field watching ones against ones, this being my first time that I have seen Matthew Stafford throw a football in person since covering a game and in a Rams jersey. So I certainly stayed ones versus ones for most of the day. So I didn't see a ton of Ernest Jones, who's obviously one of the Rams' day two picks, who they are going to try to work into the rotation and will probably continue to come along as he learns more of the defense and the calls and the checks and things like that. But I did think that was really, really interesting. And in the secondary, interesting running partners, of course, the featured partnership is Terrell Burgess and Jordan Fuller. And that one's going to be really fun to watch sort of grow and evolve and develop. And I think those are just two outstanding players who I think are a little bit still under the radar, but entering their second season, I think they have a chance of being just really a great tandem. And Robert Rochelle even got a little bit of time. He's a Rams draft pick on day three, fourth rounder, and he even got a little bit of time with the ones as well. So it's some of these guys are just getting thrown into it, and it's just really fun and really exciting to watch. But I did find that interesting to see the dynamic of sort of that complementary skill set that they're using with those inside linebackers.
Yeah, great observations there, Jordan. I'll be fascinated to see how that plays out. If you had asked me, I'm a little surprised. You know, I don't know Traven Howard. Maybe some of it is him still coming back, but I would have thought he would have gotten a little bit more run there. And I know they're pairing it. It's not necessarily first team, second team or anything like that. But if you gave me the list and kind of asked me to pair them up, I probably would have put Kizer with Traven Howard and just to see what that looks like, because I just think like with those skill sets and kind of where the ceilings are with those guys, those are, I would kind of want to take a look at those two together. And we've saw it a little bit in training camp and things like that when they were both healthy, which unfortunately hasn't been often enough for those two guys. But I like the dynamic between those two guys. But you know what, Jordan, at the same time, Kenny Young had a really good year last year, and that's something that probably, you know, it's not a position that got a lot of attention, but I think he stood out and probably more than he got credit for. So not surprised that the Rams would want to give him a look there. And then you've been talking about Christian Roseboom for a while, ever since the Rams signed him. And then that's why I liked the drafting of Ernest Jones too, and really why I was kind of surprised that the Rams didn't add to that mix a year ago. There's some versatility here. There's guys who can do a lot of different things. Troy Reader didn't even mention him, but he's been a guy who's been able to be plugged in and get the job done. These are guys who can play on special teams and thrive. So when you look at this group, there's not a name that really pops out at you and says, wow, you know, this is a really, really impact player. But I think if they can find the right mix here with these guys, it can be a pretty good group.
Yeah, and I think those sort of partnerships and those tandems are maybe indicative of how they're establishing the competition, because they want Troy Reader to compete with Micah Kizer for that sort of ILB1 tandem, and they want to see what sort of running mate works best with him, whether it's Kenny, who they saw a lot of with Troy last year, or whether it becomes Traven Howard. And then they also, ultimately, I would fit Ernest Jones into that sort of maybe a little bit more power spot, someone who's going to be on the field for most of the time while the lighter package inside linebacker maybe gets rotated in and out, because we know that they love to run subverted nickel sub packages and especially some of that dime that they like to do as well. So to me, I don't think that would be changing year over year. It was very, you know, it was successful for them last year, especially when you consider other players factored in, such as a one Jalen Ramsey moving around the field. So you want to keep your sub packages afloat. So I think this was really, really interesting to see, especially just how they kind of are clearly not only establishing those partnerships, but also establishing a little bit of that competition. Like, okay, starters, quote unquote, last year who had the job out of training camp were Micah Kizer and Kenny Young. So Troy Reader and Traven Howard, now it's sort of their jobs to compete with. Same with Christian Roseboom, who's hoping to be on the active roster this year, but they drafted Ernest Jones. So, you know, there's going to be plenty of competition. I could definitely see them keeping more. They only kept, what, three linebackers, inside linebackers on the roster through most of last season. So I could definitely see them keeping more than that this year. That was a little bit of a risk last year, but really they just loaded up on defensive backs, especially safeties. So the way Raheem Morris wants to do it moving forward is going to be interesting and notable. That's one of the big question marks for me on the defensive side of the ball, which I think offensive side, it's probably still the line. You know, when you bring back a Robert Woods and a Cooper Kupp and you add some of that horizontal and vertical speed and that stretchability, I have less questions actually about the receiving core and about Matthew Stafford than I do the offensive line, specifically that interior. But, you know, once they actually start practicing against DBs, in a more competitive setting, then that's when I think, you know, my questions about those receivers and how those concepts will all blend together will start to evolve and get more complicated. And so far on the defensive side of the ball, this is really all there is to watch, essentially. Right. So it's been interesting, but definitely starting, some storylines are definitely starting to take shape.
Yeah, and now's the time when it's a great point, Jordan, too, that you know, this is the time to kind of experiment too. I remember, I think it was the first training camp that I covered in 2016, and you know, you're watching who's with the ones and twos or whatever, and somebody rotated in. It might have been like a Justin Lawler or somebody like that, and you saw him and I was like, oh wow, there's Justin Lawler's getting those reps. And then, like, you know, two practices later he was on the third team and somebody else was rotating, right. And they're like, oh okay, they're just giving looks at with these guys. This isn't necessarily a indication of what they're going to do. So great point, Jordan, in terms of like, you know, pairing these guys off. It could literally could be just to see how they look together. Like you said, they've seen some of these guys play together and maybe not some others. So how's that chemistry? How do they play off each other? You know, who fills those roles better? So again, another benefit to OTAs to be able to see some of that. And I would expect that things like that will continue on into training camp too.
Yeah. And one thing to keep in mind too is sometimes when guys are getting opportunities in a certain position, and I tried to note this in my piece too, but sometimes when guys are getting opportunities in specific positions, it's because the other guy isn't there, you know,
right.
And I'm not saying that critically. These are voluntary and guys have their own workout plans and their own things that they do. So even when players are rotating in for one day, they might be gone the next day. So sometimes, you know, you're seeing guys repping with certain layers and levels, first team, second team or whatever, because they're available. So, you know, I wouldn't think that they would be putting Robert Rochelle out against the ones right away if they didn't have to. You know, that was the day where the one day where both Darius and Jalen weren't there. So Robert Rochelle, your number's called, man. So that part of it's really interesting to me as well, is sort of that, like, what do you think to yourself when that happens as a rookie? You're like, oh God, I know I'm not supposed to be, you know, hitting anybody. I know I have all these things to think about and consider. And I mean, yeah, it'll be really good for him ultimately. But that's another thing to keep in mind, is like when you see some of these video cut ups and, you know, like they're not going to be putting, and I love them to death, but they're not going to be putting Dante Dia on Cooper Kupp in on a corner end zone route, like in training camp. Right. They're just not. So, right, you know, you just got to take some of these things with a grain of salt and look for some of the little things, like I said, like the running partners with the linebackers, how these young players, especially on the interior defensive line, are being coached and how they're rotating in for reps, size and frame and all of these types of things, speed. Tutu Atwell repping into punt return, that was definitely notable. Something that Sean McVay had indicated but didn't really commit to. Going to be competing with a couple of different guys there. So, you know, just little details like that are much more important than some of the bigger things that happen. And that's the best part of this, is kind of getting in there and getting granular and seeing like some of those details behind the flashy plays, like who was where, what the snap looked like, you know, yeah, what are guys doing off to the side? How did guys show up? You know, what kind of shape did they show up in? So it's a fun time of year, Rich.
Oh, it is. And it just illustrates how much, you know, everybody, not that this was the most important thing that happened in the last 12 months, but I mean, just in terms of talking about football, it's how much we all, you know, lost last year, the players not being able to be there. And, you know, great reporters like you weren't able to watch those practices and learn and bring that to people. I saw, you know, some of the comments in your analysis that people leave and just, you know, talking about the detail that you give on these practices. And yeah, it's like, that's why we're there. That's what the benefit of opening those practices up to us is. And you can really kind of dig and learn these things right now. Cause I've said it a few times, like once you get to training camp, I mean, there's still battles, there's things that are going on in training camp, but this is always, to me, you know, this is like the NFL version of spring football in college, you know, where you get to see those things, the installs, how they view certain players, where they're moving them around. Really, just really fascinating stuff to see. And I hope, Jordan, I don't know what the deal is, the June 10th practice. I know they're opening it up at SoFi Stadium. Not sure exactly how many people they're letting in, but I do know, you know, if fans do get an opportunity, if you're a season ticket holder or you're just able to get your hands on one of those tickets, It really is kind of it's a fascinating thing to watch, especially if you've never been able to watch an off-season practice or a training camp practice or something like that.
Well, yeah, and I'm hoping that more people come, and then that way I can stay over on one side of the field, and then someone else can come and be in the stands or on the sideline or whatever, and they can just send me their notes that they take from watching the twos play. Because I'd like to see everything at once, but it's kind of a funny thing. I run around those fields. I got a little fanny pack action. I had a camelback. Had a camelback in training camp last year that I got a little bit of crap for because it was just so extra, but I was just trying to run around seeing everything that I could. And
yeah,
that's the fun part of it. But also, thanks for everyone's patience with me, because I'll have to switch back and forth, and I get so many great questions and love getting questions from you guys, and love interacting and everything. So keep them coming. That open practice is going to be fun. That's in, what is it? It's the first now. So it'll be, what, 9 days? It's on the 10th. Yeah. That'll be really, really fun. And then obviously people getting ready for this mandatory mini camp where media has access for all 3 days of that. And that's where we'll see full attendance that we know of so far. Nobody's right. Holding out, as far as we know. Yeah. Yeah, they got all those important contracts done last year, so yes. Nobody needs to do that. Days. Yeah, and so then training camp, Irvine, California, and the rookies and assistants are going to report on July 25th, and then that's when things really start going, Rich.
Oh yeah, it's a sprint after that, and that's why I said like that goes so fast, and it goes fast for everybody. So, gosh, really, really excited. That's great. I don't know what the Rams plans are. I'm sure hopefully we're all in good shape, COVID wise, and they can have a really, really nice outdoor thing there. Jordan, I know you haven't been down there, but just a cool setup. Anybody who's been down there knows, I think they can fit about 5,000-6,000 people in kind of like a stadium kind of setting. So cool. They do autograph sessions. There's always alumni around there. The Rams just did a very good job in maintaining, especially that Orange County fan base that's really important to them. So it's just so cool. And, like I've said, this is not the most important thing that's been happening over the last year, but I know, Jordan, you covering the sport that you love and so many of the Rams fans watching the sport they love, the team that they love, to be able to see this stuff again and do this stuff again. It feels really refreshing.
Yeah. And we'll be back in 2 weeks with you guys here on the 11 Personnel Podcast. But I'm looking at my calendar and I've got like a half dozen pieces planned from here until then. So if you guys want to keep track of everything with training camp, with the Rams, a couple of really cool big picture features coming out this off season, time God's willing, access God's willing. So make sure you guys are following along with me on Twitter, and certainly following along with me at The Athletic. I'll also be using our brief in real time feature a little bit more this spring and summer, because it gives me more characters with which to write than Twitter does. So those are always free. So even if you're not an Athletic subscriber, make sure you're checking out that feature and interacting with that as well. And as always, Rich, when you subscribe to theathletic.com via the 11 Personnel Podcast, you get my favorite thing in the world. What is it, Rich?
You get a great discount.
My favorite thing in the world, a great discount. And you guys can make sure and take advantage of that every single time you hear us remind you of it, which is every single time we record the 11 Personnel Podcast. Really, really appreciate you guys. This is going to be fun. I'm so excited. We're in it now. Sounds like, health and safety willing, we are in it, and it's going to be a really fun season. So I'm looking forward to having you guys on board. Make sure you catch us next time. Leave us a 5-star rating. We're biased, but leave us one of those. Leave us a review on iTunes. And as always, it's been a real pleasure. We'll catch you next time.